This is the Monicast, all about open source marketing automation with Montic. And here is your host, Eki Gamble.
Welcome to a very special episode of the Monicast, because today is a very special day. Today is the day we welcome Montic 5 on the face of the earth. It's been a long time. It's been 145 features and enhancements and a lot of work under the hood. And in this episode of the Monicast, we want to take a look under that hood and take a look into the most important features. And for that, I invited Sven Döring from the marketing team and Matthias Michaud from the product team to do that with me. So the interview is really the point of this episode. We have some things in the show notes. Please don't forget to go there, including the link to the new documentation. You'll probably find it on Google very soon as well. So it's a brand new documentation as well, along with the Mautic 5 code. One thing we did not mention in the interview because it came last minute was the coverage of the DPMMA 2537, the demand for a one-click unsubscribe by RFC 8058. Whatever, if it doesn't tell you anything, don't care. If it does affect you, then you will be happy to hear that. So this thing that is mandatory real soon, it is in Mautic 5. It will be backported to Mautic 4 quickly, in a matter of 1 week or so, I guess. Other than that, it's one thing that's mentioned in the interview that I want to bring up before we go. That's a community sprint from January 31st to February 1st in Ghent, Belgium, and online. So we put the link in the show notes to that. Please, if you have the chance to go to Belgium, you're very welcome to go there. If not, you're very much invited to join online, even if you never did it before, if you don't even know what to do there. But if you have a couple of hours to spend, or if you're curious, follow the link, sign up, and be there, and I'll be delighted to see you. And the other thing is the Mautic Conference in India. That's the Mautic Conference Asia, February 17th to 18th, exactly, in Pune, India. So that's released. The website is online. The tickets are on sale, and sponsors are still wanted, and the speaker paper, etc. Everything is on its way now. So if you are in Asia, that's for you. You should attend Mautic Conference, should sponsor it, and everything else as well. So with no further ado, let's now dive directly into Mautic 5 with Sven and Matthias. Here you go. Bye-bye. Hello, Matthias. Hello, Sven. Thank you for coming here to discuss Mautic 5. That's a brand new release of Mautic. We're recording this prior to the release, but when you, the listeners, are hearing this, we are in the future, and Mautic 5 has landed. We will release this interview once Mautic 5 has landed. So forgive us if not 100% is totally accurate because of any last-minute changes. Hopefully none, but we do our best. Yeah, before we discuss Mautic 5, let's discuss our guests here. And I'd like to start with, in the alphabetical order, Matthias. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I'm Matthias. I'm Matthias Michaud. I'm a director of engineering at DropSolid. We are a company which has also a focus on Mautic, and I'm also very active in the Mautic community. I'm the project team lead, so to help release the Mautic product as a whole, and so we're very involved in the Mautic 5 release process.
Mm-hmm. You're based in Belgium, right?
Yes, based in Ghent, in Belgium.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, and so related to that, to Ghent, as you mentioned it, we also have an upcoming Mautic sprint. So end of January, beginning of February, there is a sprint in Belgium in our office where everybody can join to help out remote or in person to help out and working further on Motic 5.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And by Motic 5, you mean Motic 5 point something, right?
Yes, I obviously mean Motic 5.1.
Okay, awesome. And on the other end, there is Sven. Hello, Sven.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm Sven. I am freshly joined the agency VML. So for a bit over 4 weeks now, I'm part of a new agency and I'm working there as a head of data and analytics, working mainly with clients who do marketing automation, customer journey optimization, brand experience optimization, and all that beautiful stuff where we use quite a bit of tools. Also, a few of our clients are using Mautic or one of the, let's say, branded alternatives to that. And in my free time, I'm working as a freelancer supporting more smallish clients, regional clients from the eco-friendly food production, I would say. And also there, I'm helping a bit with marketing automation and reaching their customers more efficiently with Mautic.
Yeah, and your role in the community is in the marketing team of Mautic, right?
Yeah, I'm the assistant team lead of the marketing team in the community, okay. Yes.
Yeah, then that's it. I said, oh, and you're located in Germany. That has to be added, maybe.
Yeah, okay. I'm in Germany, shortly north of Hamburg. So, yeah. Beautiful, so, northern Germany.
But you're not underwater these days, are you?
No. We are totally fine here, even if we are officially lower than some of the areas underwater in Germany right now. But we got lucky, I would say.
Okay. Okay, let's get to the positive things. And that is, of course, Mautic 5. And obviously, what everybody is most interested in is, what's so great about Mautic 5? What new features do we have? And that's a question to you, Sven.
Yeah, thanks for that. So one of my favorite new features actually is the new lead scoring mechanism. So up until now, quite a few people in the community and in the using in the users, I would say, found the scoring a bit lacking. And nowadays you can create point groups, so and use that in campaign conditions as contact points. So nowadays you can do personalization of your marketing automation based on different categories where you can score users in. So if you're an e-commerce shop, you could say, do they more use running equipment versus yoga equipment? And if they score more points on yoga, then the content of your marketing automation changes towards yoga and stuff like that.
Yeah. So that's long story short, it's a really, yeah, really powerful feature. As I understand it, lead scoring just became much more powerful, and it's a variety of applications for that power. So I'm totally with you. That's a fascinating thing. And I also have the feeling that lead scoring gets more important, or has become more important lately. In the past, few people had been using it. And now, wherever I look, people are talking about it, are trying to be more active about it. It's just a core thing.
Yeah, and also from my professional standpoint, a lot of clients want to use mechanisms like this to do personalization, and Mautic just enables that now.
Going forward. Yeah, we see the same thing also. This will give us way more powerful tooling to allow the personalization capabilities with Mautic. Yeah. For us too, we see the same thing with our clients. They will be very happy about it when we can switch to Mautic 5 having that feature.
Okay, so that's lead scoring. What else do we have?
And then we have a maybe small sounding but great feature is that we have token support in the email and landing page builder. So you can now insert tokens for personalized fields, custom fields, user profile fields from the builder directly. and not have to do it in code. So that is also just great for the people actually working with the tool, building the mails, building the landing pages.
So is it like a little drop down and add the first name here, or?
Yeah, as far as I understand, yes.
Cool. So good. We've been missing that. Okay, yeah, let's move on. What else?
One important feature, I think, is what is already often talked about is transactional emails. So right now, every email does respect the do not contact flag if a user has set that. But maybe if you're using transactional emails for purchase confirmation or stuff like that, your user actually wants this mail and just don't want your, let's say, marketing email. And now, and if going into the future, transactional emails will be sent. Marketing emails will listen to the DNC tag.
Out of curiosity, do not contact in the past would also have been said if the email bounced, right?
Yeah, if the email had bounced, that would have been set as well, yes.
Yeah. Is it now different flags? Like here's a hard flag, like this email is broken, and here's a I do not want marketing messages flag? Does anyone know?
I'm also wondering if it's one of the two.
Same here.
I don't know by heart. To be honest, I don't know by heart.
Yeah, me neither, actually. That's a good question. We need to get that into the documentation.
Sorry. Okay, so we add that to the show notes. So hopefully 1 or 2 days before the release, we get that. Okay, cool. Let's move on. What else do we have?
Other than that, we have email heat maps. So in the future, you will be able to see in better detail which part of your email actually creates user engagement.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And we have the ability to better include URL and link shorteners in Mautic, like Bitly and others. That's also something to look forward to if you are using that and if you want to have more in-depth knowledge about your clicked links.
Mm-hmm. So we can now use Mautic as a link shortener, do not have a third-party tool which is not GDPR compliant, etc., said like that.
I have to admit, as far as I understand, it's more you can more easily embed third-party link shorteners.
Yeah, indeed.
But maybe, Matthias, you know more.
I think it's the same, indeed. It's the better ability to use the shorteners, indeed. Mm-hmm. And then you can choose which one does comply with, for example, GDPR, or which that in Europe exists, for example, that are fully GDPR compliant that you can use. Yeah.
Yeah, and Bitly got removed from core and needs to be, for example, their own plugin now. Yeah.
Ah, yeah, right. Okie dokie.
Yeah, then we have a few new reports, making it more easy to report on your success and efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a few changes to stages. So you can now use stages, for example, as campaign conditions.
Wow, cool.
So that's something I am actually looking forward to for quite a few clients.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah. And forms got enhanced. Something I am really also looking forward to is that form feedback can now be at the end of a form. So users would not have to scroll up to see if it was a successful submitted form or not, or what the error was.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah.
And you can now have at your contact level, see the specific email stats for that contact. That might be a feature more geared toward B2B, actually, but for those who need something like that or are interested in something like that to see what specific user interacted with what specific email in what way, you can find that now in their profile.
Oh, man, quite a list. I know there are many, many more improvements here and there, but I think we better stop and don't bore people to death because we have so many other things to talk about. Maybe we turn around and say, I know there are some things gone. Which are those?
Yeah, indeed, to ensure that we can keep up with changes, it also sometimes makes sense to drop specific features or features that have been deprecated for a long time, but mm-hmm. now are gone. For example, some plugins have been removed from the Motic core mm-hmm. and can live further as a community plugin to where it can be maintained by the community itself and not per se being a direct dependency for Motic core.
Yeah.
Also, for example, the calendar plugin or bundle was removed. Also, the legacy editor. So now we know only the Grapes editor is there.
Yeah, I think that's a bigger deal. The calendar is so funny because nobody ever used it, and
I have never used it. Yeah,
yeah. But no. The legacy editor, I do know a lot of people who have been or who are still using it with their Motic 4 instance, and mm-hmm. moving to the Grapes.js editor is. A serious thing for many. So updating Motic 5 will also mean having to update the templates and also all the other themes.
Yeah, indeed. And if you combine that with the other change that happened within templating, is also the underlying templating engine changed to Twig. Is also another change that will impact if you where you may need to do some changes to templates or and so on. So, but indeed, mm-hmm. so the editor has changed to the Grapes.js editor, and also the underlying templating engine within Motic has changed to Twig. So, front end wise or theming wise, there are some changes or layout wise. So,
yeah. Oh yeah. Hmm.
But it's for the better, so to say. It's because why are some things removed? It's just to ensure that we can keep up with security or keeping the project as small as possible without having to pull the weight of specific plugins or bundles that have not been used a lot or a functionality that has been deprecated since, for example, Motic 3 or 4, like, for example, the legacy editor.
Yeah, well, that goes even further. I've been part of that discussion, and we just didn't have a way to stick with the legacy editor, except we still use this very, very old version that has many known security flaws.
So, yeah, indeed. That's, yeah.
So
yeah.
For licensing reasons, we would not have been able to even pay for a license which we could include in the Motic distribution.
So yep.
Yeah, that's too bad for many, I know, but it's just the way it is.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, let's talk about the process of moving from Motic 4 to Motic 5. Let's start with the easy way. If I start fresh, if I want to try it out, what do I need to install Motic 5, Matthias?
What do you need? So one of the let's change that question a little bit. Sorry.
Sure.
So what's the one of the biggest changes under hood for Motic 5 is indeed the change to newer standards or newer framework versions, which also means that some of the requirements changed. And indeed, for example, one of the changes that the minimal PHP version is 8.0. I will explain in a bit why it's still 8.0 and not 8.1. But 8.1 is obviously or above is 8.1 is recommended to start from. So that's one of the main requirements that you need. And then, of course, for people who have been around in Motic 4, at some point we moved forward to the Composer way of installing, which Composer is a package manager which allows you to easily install projects like Motic, and we don't require yet to install Motic via Composer. We definitely recommend it. So if you're a fresh install of Motic, please look into it. By the release of Motic 5, we'll also have reworked the documentation or improved documentation to ensure that everybody can start fresh on Motic 5 with Composer, because it's the best way also for extending Motic and to ensure that your changes that you want to do, like custom bundles or plugins or themes, that you can manage them correctly and so on. So it's not a requirement composer, but it's highly recommended. Another thing related also, one of the question that many people ask is that they want to run Motic in an Dockerized way, so in a composer, containerized way. So that can be with Docker or with Kubernetes or whatever container system or virtualization container virtualization system you want to use. And we also have that. We have that ready, so that the Motic 5 will have a Docker image release also. To be sure that you can, for example, easily test it out. And why is that important? Because that makes the step to testing it out easier, because you don't need all the local dependencies like PHP and Apache and specific configuration and so on and so on. And that makes it easier to do the step to testing out Motic. Also for like hosting providers, it's easier to maintain it because basically the Motic community delivers the package that where Motic is running in. So. Yeah, that will be cool. So you will still be able to install Motic like a Motic 4 and before, like downloading the release file and extracting it and running from that. You will be able to install it composer way, and you will have the Docker images ready that just contain the full package with everything included.
So I do think that. A lot of people out there never tried Docker and are not sure what it means, or are kind of afraid what it is. But what it really means is that everybody can, if they don't have it yet, they can install the Docker application on their computer.
Yes.
And then
yes,
download, indeed. pull the Docker image from Docker Hub, I guess.
Yep.
And then they can just fire up their entire server, Motic server.
Yeah, indeed. And the cool thing is, within Docker, there is also the concept of a Docker Compose file, which basically defines everything that you need. And we have those examples ready. So you actually can test it out that it automatically downloads the database image and the queuing image and so on and so on. So we will have all those examples ready. So it's easy to test out and very self-explanatory, or with the documentation next to it, how or what part is used for what. And it's really, I see that as a big step forward to ensure that people can easily test out Motic. And also, because now we are focusing on new installations, but of course, it's also interesting to understand how to move forward if you currently on Motic 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let's talk about that.
Yeah, because indeed it's not only the let's say it's the easy or the happy part with new installs. It's also the existing part where we want to provide the documentation because it should not be hard to move forward to Motic 5 purely on the installation level. That should be fine, or the update level. That should be as smooth as possible. And that's also relating to one of the changes that we did. And in Motic 5 is that some of the folders have been split up. Previously in Motic 4, your configuration of Motic, for example, where the every setting that you change in via the interface is stored, that file was stored in the same location as the default configuration of Motic. And that led to some problems because, for example, with Composer, that file could possibly suddenly be gone when updating Motic.
So sorry, Matthias, for all the non-nerds, we're now talking about folders and files on the server, not folders in the UI.
So I'm not going to go into detail there in the technical, but we solved one of the issues that could lead to very annoying situations where you could lose some files. So the same for uploaded images and like form submissions that have files attached to it are all now separated from Motic itself. That also helps for both Composer way of working and also the container, the Docker way of working, because that also separates everything that's standard in Motic and then everything that's specific to your installation, your configuration, your uploaded files, and so on. That's a big step also forward in Motic 5.
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, to make it short, it solves the problem of losing stuff when doing an update that could happen in the past, and it should not be able to happen in the future anymore.
Correct. Because, the folders are not mixed anymore, simply said. Yep. Folders on the server. Yeah.
Okay. So you already said upgrading is the hardest part. And you said we also have or will have well, I know we do already have migration scripts, etc. Maybe we will have much better documentation. I know you're working on that already.
Yes, indeed.
So the upgrade process, in my simple view, is normally is tough already. And in this case, if you move from a non-composer to a composer installation, that adds an extra layer of complexity, but it's definitely worth it. And we're doing that for all our installations, period.
Yeah, we, indeed. And I would, that's why I really want to focus on the documentation part, because I know it's a very technical thing. But that should not be a blocker. We as a community can help out and make the documentation clear and ensure that people can actually update to ensure that the reason why we did a change also reflects on all the installations that we have, because there is a good reason why we basically Motec 5 is released. It's for the for features, but also for ensuring that we keep the security requirements of a project there. And then one of the things is there to have decent package management, so to say, and that then their composer helps. So definitely it will help you also to keep your Motec more secure or easier to extend. So yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a good topic that you're touching on here. So the question, why would I upgrade? You basically named those, but bottom line is speaking with Motec 4 is not an option at all. I mean, over time you will be completely outdated, insecure, and so on. You will not have the benefits from new plugins, and you will have to upgrade over time. The question is, of course, when is a good time? Should people upgrade right now with 5.0.0, or what's your recommendation?
Well, the recommendation is that hopefully you are one of the people that already tried out Motec during the release candidate phase, but even so, where a lot of feedback came out, and that's good, that's cool. We were able to solve a lot of bugs, but even then, even though it's already been tested, your use case may vary. So it definitely makes sense to test it out. So yes, indeed, you should be able to test out the upgrade phase on a non-production environment or on a copy of your environment to ensure that you actually can check yourself if your installation actually works on Motec 5, which I mean the plugins you have, the themes you have, and so on.
Yeah.
So because indeed Motec 4 is actually Motec 4 itself is still supported by the community, but the underlying requirements of it are not anymore. They are the security. They are end of life also security-wise, which is not good. So that's why it makes sense to upgrade once you're comfortable that Motec 5 will work with your installation. Indeed.
Yeah. So that means for now, if a security issue would come up with Motec 4, what do we have, 4.4.10, then we would see a 4.4.11 for sure, right?
But yeah, indeed. And I think as for every release, after... a specific amount of time after Motec 5 will be released, Motec 4 will also, no release will happen anymore. And that's why I really think it's important that people try out the upgrade steps and see if their installation works, that they can move as fast as possible to Motec 5.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, and also, I think, just one note on that. And if you find something that doesn't work, please come into the community. Please report that back in the forums, because then we can help you out, and then also the community profits from that as well.
Yeah, that doesn't have to be a bug necessarily, but people will definitely run into problems here or there, and we will have we will have a forum category, a forum place specifically for Motec 5 and upgrading to Motec 5 as we had with Motec 4. So that's a perfect place to do the research if other people had the same situation before, and also to leave your observations and questions.
And even if just the parts of the documentation might seem that are obvious to us might not seem obvious to somebody else doing it for the first time. Mm-hmm. And even if that's just something they don't understand clearly, that would help everybody to make the documentation better. Yes.
True. Yeah, that's like always in open source. It's not just you. So talking about it helps others as well.
Yeah, and indeed. And that combined, because like what Sven said is indeed very correct. Some of us are really like deep into Motic and take some processes for granted that sometimes it's not easy to step out of that and to ensure that everybody, that it's clear for everybody what we actually mean. So that's, even if the documentation is not clear, it doesn't have to be a bug. Just report if you are stuck on a specific process, then you can help out by fixing the documentation or enhancing it, ensuring that it's clear for the next person who would hit that issue. And that's why also, so we will provide documentation and like the upgrade steps for Motic 4.5. Also, like for example, if it seems easier to explain it that way via video or a blog article or something like that, how to, with all the steps needed, so we actually can make it as clear as possible for everybody to move forward.
Awesome. Okay, I'd like to bring up something else, and that is when I upgrade my existing installation to Motic 5, the core may well work fine, but there's a good chance that not all of my plugins are ready for Motic 5, right?
So that's correct. That's correct. Because indeed, under the hood, some things changed. Like already mentioned, the templating engine changed. Technical detail, but it may be that your plugin is using the old, using some templates or overrides for templates that will need some rework to ensure that they are compatible. That's also a change that happened in Motic Core, so it's perfectly doable. It's please reach out to the person writing that plugin if it's a community plugin, or see how you can switch from the old templating engine to Twig templating. And another thing that changed for plugins that's like, for example, integrate with everything related to mail handling and a queuing mechanism, that also changed. So if you made a plugin that's to connect to your own mail provider or in-house mail system, that also may require some work to ensure that it's compatible with both the mail sending and the new queuing mechanisms.
Quite a number of other plugins will also need to have minor changes in order to run properly on Motic 5. For our public plugins that we have, I think one is ready for Motic 5 already. Everything else is being prepared, so we hope to have it ready in a month or so. And so over time, in February, March, April, we will be in a situation where Motic, including its ecosystem, is actually much more ready for Motic 5.
Yeah, indeed. And also there, like the same for if you have issues with like the upgrading steps, also if you have issues with figuring out how to update your plugin or the plugin you maintain, also please reach out, because that's also general things you can document in a general way for the broader audience of Motic. So to ensure that we can have attraction and the changes needed as clear as possible.
Yeah. Matthias, I have a different question for you, and that's about the Motic API where third-party systems connect to. Will that be unchanged, or will we have to do changes on the third party as well?
No big changes are in the API itself. So that's cool. The changes are more in the underlying system. So simply said, if you would send an email via the API or trigger sending an email, the API will not change, but underlying system to send out the email have changed. That's useful for third-party integrations, indeed, that there will no big changes there to be expected, indeed.
Okay, so the endpoints are the same or not?
Yeah, indeed.
Oh, okay. Okay, now you already touched on changes under the hood, etc., and things that change for the developer. And I don't want to be or to get too technical here, but maybe you can give us some highlights there and what it's good for and what the bottom line is.
Yeah, indeed. A lot changed under the hood. I'm not going really deep into that, but indeed, bottom line is that we are closer to nowadays standards and mainly to Symfony. So we using the 5 release of the Symfony framework to ensure that we are on that level of the application, that level of and the application. That comes with a lot of other things that enabled that. Other things are also enabled by switching to that for or helping with that. So we did a lot of changes to auto wiring, which means it's more logic to, or you don't have to do as much effort to integrate the Motic system and building a custom plugin for Motic, and that's really cool because it's if you would start now fresh in PHP land, that's a fact. But as Motic evolved over some time, some parts still were not using that, and that's changed a lot. What we also did is, for example, we applied more code analysis, that the code analysis or tooling around it, we configured it to ensure that the quality of certain things or certain mm-hmm. pieces of code are really more up to date or better handled. Something else for people who developed on Motic or plugins. Previously, there was an index_dev file to ensure that you were in the development mode for mm-hmm. Motic. That's gone. That's now also handled like in a more Symfony way, like with environment environment specifications.
Yeah.
And that's more going to standards or what other how standards evolved to. That's what we achieved. And other things is like also splitting up the dependencies of JavaScript. So previously they were hard-coded into Motic, and that led also to some security issues. Now they are managed by NPM, the JavaScript package manager. Twig templating changed.
Okay. I see.
Yeah,
I
a lot of things.
Okay. Wow. I think everybody's in overload mode already anyway. So I'd like to finish by asking you about your personal highlights in Motic 5. So Matthias, what having all that said and heard what we just digested, what's your number one from that?
Yeah, as you already imagined, I'm not a marketeer. I'm a technical person, a technical profile. So for me, the biggest win for Motic 5 is really that part, the under the hood changes, the making Motic more robust, making it more following the best practices in from a Symfony application and so on. And there are still steps and improvements to be made, but we made big steps. And now is the challenge for us to ensure that we make sure that everybody can use those, which I mean developers, that they can use those to create new plugins, but also for end users, that they don't have to worry about those changes, that it just works out of the box, that the upgrade process is documented, that they know how to upgrade. So for me, that's the highlight, that we will be able to move applications forward and to move non-technical person people move their Motic application forward to ensure that they also can use those improvements under the hood.
Yeah, if I get that right, so I understand life is easier for developers. That's cool, and also it's much easier for non-Motic developers to hop on the Motic train and to learn Motic because it's much closer to the standards.
Yeah. Yes, indeed, that's a good summary. Indeed.
Yeah, well, from community perspective, that's a big deal. Wow.
Yes, indeed, because that's the only way, in my opinion. Okay, no, not the only way. There are other ways too, but that's also needed to grow a community from both a non-technical and technical perspective.
Yeah.
Because you need to have both to ensure that we can keep growing as a community. You need to have the technical traction and the non-technical traction, and that's I see this as a big achievement in the Motic world.
Yeah. Oh, okay, got that. And Sven, what about you?
Yeah, someone from the agency side as well as a freelancer, for me it is Docker as a first-class citizen, because that makes it, on one hand, easier for you people out there just to test it, try it out, and see if it works for them. But it also makes it way more easy to implement for clients and to run it for clients, regardless of the client size. So Docker, to me, makes Motic way more usable for companies and corporations of any size out there. And as an agency, we can support them way better now.
Mm. Okay. I have to say, I'm with both of you. It's awesome things. But I'd like to pick one more user-facing feature. And that is the first thing we discussed, the point groups, the much more powerful scoring. I think that just makes Mautic much more powerful for the users. And the other thing that we did not really mention explicitly, but obviously this is 5.0 release. With 5.1, 5.2, etc., we will have feature releases where we expect more of these steps forward, these yep. things that make Mautic more valuable for users and more shiny and so on. So that's
yeah.
definitely very important.
Yeah, definitely. Correct. Yes. There is quite a few nice items in the pipeline, so to speak.
Yeah, very true. And so many more ideas. Wow.
Yeah, indeed. A lot of ideas. Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of ground for potential Mautic developers to cover if they want to join the community. Yes.
Yeah, indeed.
But for users as well. Yeah. Okay, folks, that has been a very long thing, but of course, Mautic 5 has been a long story, is a very, very, very big step in the future for Mautic. So thank you both personally for the effort that you put into this, because I know it has been a lot of work for you personally as well. I'm looking forward to see all the marketing rollout for Mautic 5, Sven. And of course, Matthias, thanks for all the things and the love that he put into that and the frustrations that he had to experience.
I'm also looking forward to finally releasing it and see where it lands.
We are already in the future when we're airing this. It has been released.
Yes, indeed. We have released it and we are happy.
Yes, aren't we?
Yes.
Maybe we even drank on it. Okay. Okay, it can't get better than that. Thank you so much, folks. Take care and talk to you soon.
Thanks Bye-bye. For having See me. Bye-bye.
Cheers. And there you have it. Wow. Whew, a lot of things to digest, isn't it? I think that shall do for today. I thank you very much for listening. Next time, we'll be back with a more widespread, more complete episode with a lot of tips and tricks and features and know-how and news. So more like the regular scope. And for today, I thank you very much again for listening. We appreciate all feedback, ideas, recommendations, criticisms and all. We always love to hear from you, and especially we love to see you or talk to you next time. So stay safe. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.